Hi, and welcome to the 91-Day AI Transformation Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Mast, and today I've got with me a friend and peer, Jay Vicks. Jay and I had the opportunity, a few months ago now, to chat about a bunch of different things at a mastermind event we were at, beautiful location and everything else. And then in the process, we've been keeping in touch, and I wanted to bring Jay on today to talk a little bit about, specifically about AI in your business, AI sales agents, AI operators, all that type of stuff, because Jay's an expert at that, and I'm probably massacring it. So Jay, before I massacre that any further, tell everybody a little bit about who you serve and how you help businesses, kind of what we were talking about in the pre-call.
Yeah, no, thanks, Jonathan. I'm really honored to be a guest on your podcast because I'm as much as we're friends, I'm a big admirer as well of what you're doing right now.
Thank you.
It's really awesome. Absolutely. And I'm honored to get to be a member of the same mastermind and all that other happy, great stuff. It's just good to good to chat with you today. I've had my marketing agency for about 13 years. And for the first 11 of it, it was customer asks if we can do something, we can, we say yes. And as a matter of fact, some of what we talked about pre-call is that I'm still guilty of falling into that trap a little bit. But
sure.
about 3 years ago, we really got into, we struck a deal with a chain of mattress stores, which, we actually have an exclusive. So if you're listening to this and you own a mattress store, I probably can't work with you, because I have to work with this one brand. But if you work by appointment, which a lot of these mattress stores, that's actually their whole business model, is they work by an appointment basis. So they live and die by their calendar. They meet people at their store one-on-one. People get to personalized mattress buying experience, yada, yada. Well, we struck a deal to implement a CRM for them, and we use Go High Level. We do it under our own private label brand, white label brand called Journey Builder. Mm-hmm. So we made a deal with this particular chain of stores that we would help them set up a CRM, booking calendars. We'd run their Facebook ads for them, drive them leads, and just keep track of that stuff for them and with them. And so that was the service we provided. And what we would constantly hear was, oh yeah, I'm getting the leads, but they're not that good, or I'm getting the leads, but they're not booking appointments, or you're getting the leads, but I don't know how I'm not converting them well. And I used to say constantly, I'd walk around my office and I would say, man, if we could just figure out a way to book the appointments for them, their lives would be easier and we wouldn't have to have customers canceling on us because they're not making money with what we're
exactly
providing. Right. At the end of the day, every business owner just wants to make money. Like, that's the goal. We're getting people to profit. So along comes AI, and along comes agentic AI, and along comes chat AI. Right. And we're not even going into voice yet. Like, we're still kind of hesitant to go into like the voice calling AI. All we did was we set up an AI chat assistant. At first we were using the high level built-in one, but we did find a third party tool that we like, that we're having good success with, and we are using that one, currently. But we launched when a lead comes in through Facebook Messenger, we're running Messenger ads. When a message comes in from somebody who clicked on their ad, we just have an AI assistant take over the conversation immediately as soon as it comes in. And that agent is designed to ask one or two questions, and really just its whole focus is book an appointment on the calendar, right? So it's all connected to the CRM. So what we're seeing is appointments started getting booked. And now we're 6 months into this. We just crossed 2,200 AI booked appointments for our clients. It's been responsible for roughly $2 million in revenue just in 6 months. And
wow,
what's really cool about that is not even the fact that this is possible. Like, we can do this and we can set this up and we're good at it. What I find rewarding is when a store owner tells me, I woke up this morning and there were two more appointments booked on my calendar for me while I was sleeping, or while I was in the shower, or while I was at my kid's sporting event, while I was coaching baseball.
I love right? that.
Yeah. And to me, like, people say that is freedom, and that's really what we've been doing and where we're at right now with it.
That's fantastic. I love that. For the user that's out there, whether they're, you know, thinking of they have a platform or they just need help, Talk to me a little bit about, from that business owner's perspective, what does this mean? And probably more importantly, how do you make sure that the AI is not, one, misrepresenting the business? How do you make sure that it sounds decent? Again, without getting into the technology too much, talk a little bit about that, because I know there's a ton of solutions. In fact, I sat through a presentation in Washington, D.C. about 2 months ago by a company that we all know, and saying, wow, wasn't this voice agent amazing? And everybody's going, that sounded terrible. That was just, it was, you know. So I know small business owners out there, our audience, our entrepreneurs are listening, and they're thinking, okay, I love the idea of AI. I love the idea of the AI voice and the AI agents being able to do this. But man, I've heard some demos that scared me, because I don't want my business to come across like that.
Yeah.
At the other end of the spectrum, I called a restaurant the other day when I was in D.C. to book, and Amy, an electronic agent, answered. And Amy identified herself as an electronic agent. She was very well-spoken, sounded as good as you and I did, and was able to help me out, and in the process told me, if you need to talk to a human at any point in time, let me know. I'll be happy to put you on hold while I go find one. But I never needed to, so I felt like I had all the options. And I've seen such both sides of that spectrum of terrible, oh my gosh, I'd never let that represent my business, to wow, that was, you just made my experience so pleasurable, I want to do this again. How do you help, and how does a small business owner particularly get to the good side and not end up stuck on the bad side?
Practice. Like, seriously, I say that, and I say that, so, you know, silly. It's, you know, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice, right? I really think that we've talked a lot, and if anybody's listening to this and you've played with AI, you've probably learned that that the garbage in, garbage out philosophy. If you your prompt is terrible, your output is going to likely be terrible as well, or not what you had hoped. You miss all the details. You miss all the extra things you need to put in to make it good. So I've talked to a couple of people that we both know that run AI chat companies, software tools, and I have been told by them, oh, that prompt is way too long. Well, maybe, and maybe I'm using a lot of tokens, but the key is that, one, you have to have a really good prompt that you can update almost daily or weekly. Like, you're going to update it because you're going to have edge cases. You're going to have random things that come in. So you're going to want to keep updating it. So we have an assistant, a real human assistant, who actually does a lot of the copy paste of updating the prompt. You also have to have a really good knowledge base. And any good AI tool is going to have your prompt, which is your logic and your instructions of what you want the AI to do. And then a good knowledge base of things that, you know, certain responses for certain edge cases. I also would say, if you are just doing this in straight, plain old text typing, you probably want to look at maybe having your AI tool, whether that's ChatGPT or Claude. We actually trained a Claude model on the prompt and the knowledge base, and now we have a project in there with our most up-to-date version of each. And we just say, hey, somebody wrote in this. The AI responded this. It should have responded this. Fix it. What do we need to do? Right? So we're having AI train our AI on almost a daily basis with new edge cases, new random things, to add new rules, to make it more strict. And we've got it very, very dialed in now. But it's not the first run through was not good. And we actually, I'll tell you a quick study about how good it is and how not good it is. One, you mentioned Amy. We had a client in Washington. He named his AI Amy, the chat AI. And one day a guy came in for an appointment with the mattress, and he said, yeah, I'd like to see Amy. I was chatting with her online. And my client laughed. He chuckled. He said, well, I got to be honest with you. This is the first time you're talking to a human. Amy is my AI assistant, and I'm going to help you buy a mattress today. And he was like, no way. Stop. That's awesome. Right. So that's really cool. Conversely, when you start doing this and you talk about the pitfalls and the terrible, and we've seen it go through everything. A customer was asking for the finance application well, we didn't have anywhere in there to give any finance application. But because our model on the back end is ChatGPT like 4.0, even though we say don't search the web, ChatGPT 4.0 already knows stuff that was already online prior to X date, right? So this person was wondering if they had a finance application, and the AI responded with a financing application for Synchrony Bank to a massive competitor and sent it. And the person clicked on it and filled out the application. Yeah, bad. And they didn't get the sale on that. And they said, wow, that can't happen again. And we said, you're darn right, it can't happen again. So we went in and we updated it in the knowledge base. So you're always, you got to start somewhere. You can't say, I'm going to launch this and it's going to be perfect. You have to launch, test, watch the results come in, iterate, test, iterate, launch, test, iterate, launch. You know, or I don't even know if I'm saying that in the right order.
Yep. But yeah, no, absolutely.
It's something that it's not done. As a matter of fact, we updated our prompt twice yesterday. And when we do it, we have to actually like literally copy and paste it into all the different accounts, because there isn't a way to push the prompt yet in the tool we're using. So it's what we do, though. This is what we do. Right. So it's our job.
What I'm hearing is it's amazing when it's done right and it works really well. Like somebody asking for Amy when they come to buy a mattress, but it's not as easy as the marketing material may make it seem. In other words, you do have to train and you have to continue. Just like with any employees, you don't just hire an employee and they become your best ever. There's training, there's reviews, there's updates, there's, hey, you know, Jay, I heard yesterday you were talking to this guy about a mattress and really want you to do it this way instead. That's part of training an employee. What I'm hearing you say is we need to train our AI employees in the same way. Am I hearing that right?
Absolutely. 100%. Think about it this way. If you took a job as a customer service agent or an appointment booking agent, you can go through the playbook, but eventually somebody's going to ask you a question you've never heard before. And you're going to need to go to somebody that has the answer to get the answer. Well, the AI is going to hear a question that it's never heard before. And if you train it properly, you could say, hey, and we've done this actually. We say, hey, I don't know. Let me talk to the shop owner and see if he can reach out to you with that answer. But you have to get it to that point where it's like, yeah, edge cases are going to come in. I mean, edge cases meaning just random things you didn't prepare for. Especially with conversational AI, people are going to say something random and you need a way to even deal with that. But if you had a human employee and somebody asked them something, I would hope that my employees would come to me and say, hey, I don't know the answer to this. Can you help me out? Well, AI is no different. That's its way of saying, hey, I don't know the answer. Can you come help me out? But if you don't have a safeguard or a rule against it, the AI is going to try to play superhero and occasionally say something dumb or wrong. And it's not, they're not saying anything dumb. They didn't know and they tried to take a guess. So I give the AI credit for its initiative, but sometimes you have to say, all right, too much initiative.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. No, and then that makes so much sense. I've got a question for you. So I know I hear from a lot of entrepreneurs and they're like, man, I would love to outsource it, but I'm worried about what my clients are going to say if they find that out, you know, that I don't want them to think Amy was real. How do you address that with clients? And what are your recommendations? What best practices do you see? How are customers receiving the AI agents when they're done properly?
Yeah, so we have a couple of rules and protocols for this. One, we always give their AI a name and we let our customers name it. Give it a name. Don't make it your own name. You don't ever want to put yourself into a corner by telling somebody that you are the person chatting with them. It's always got to be somebody else. We have some clients that make like their wife is the AI name, which I'm only 50% in support of. That I could see how that could still go wrong. But he's like, well, if it says something wrong, I blame it on my wife. She messed up. She gave the wrong info. I'm like, okay, we get a chuckle out of it. But we just say, just give it a different name. We don't come out explicitly and identify it as AI. If asked, fine. We're an AI assistant or even just an assistant helping this business owner. I think ethically, if somebody wants to know, you should be honest. You know, I think just as a general practice, you should make sure your AI is going to identify itself as an AI assistant, or as a virtual assistant, which is similar, right?
Absolutely.
If you want to go to a gray area, you could say it's a virtual assistant. But don't ever say, no, I'm a real human, because then you set yourself up for a whole bunch of other trouble. And I just think it's lying. It's deceitful. You don't have to come out and admit it, but if asked, you should never try to say that it's a real person. And again, think about it. If you use the AI and you made it pretend it was you, and it says something wrong, how do you rebound from that? How do you come back and says, oh, yes, I told you, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you got to have somebody. I say it's a good cop, bad cop thing. Be able to blame it on the assistant. Oh, my assistant didn't know the answer. I'm jumping in and taking over. Right. That happens. Yeah. That happens often. And then they usually send us a support ticket and we go iterate and change and update. So.
Well, and from my perspective, I found, at least the people I've talked to, I don't know what you're seeing, Jay, but when they know they're talking to an AI agent, they seem to have a bit more understanding and grace, and they're almost happier with the end result than if you try to fool them. You know, in the sales process, completely, we need to build knowledge or trust and that. And to me, at least, and again, you're no more than I am, it seems to me that, again, like you said, when asked, why in the world would you want to then say, oh, no, this is, you know, this is Joey. But I know there are people out there like, oh, I want him to come across like a human being. I'm like, I've never ran into a person that when they were told I'm an AI agent that they immediately went, oh, I'm hanging up, I don't want to do anything with this.
Yeah.
Never have I done that. In fact, normally I'm like, well, this beats the heck out of talking to somebody from India or Pakistan that I can't understand. No offense to anybody in India or Pakistan, right, but right, the reality is,
we have a hard time.
That drives us as Americans, at least. And I know we've got a global audience here, but if we're talking America, that drives us crazy. And so I think, you know, there's a lot to be said for that. When a business is looking at this, Jay, and saying, I don't even know where to start, where does the average business owner begin understanding where should they be talking about bringing voice agents into their business?
What we're seeing is, and we've just started using some voice agents. We're not using them with our mattress clients, but we are using them with a roofing client that we work with and a manufacturing client.
So like, I'm going to interrupt real quick. For mattress, are you just using chat-based clients then right now? Is that what you're
Everything
doing?
Everything is chat-based right now.
For mind your misunderstanding. Okay, yeah, fair enough.
Everything is chat-based. But we do have a couple of clients that we're putting in, and what we're seeing is they are really excited to use AI, but what a lot of them want to do is use it only in off hours or for overflow calling. Like, they usually have somebody that's answering phones during the day. They prefer to keep that human. But I think that's the logical step, is like, okay, we can try it after hours. We can try it to make sure that no phone call goes unanswered, like an overflow.
Sure.
And that's where we're seeing it. And the results that I'm seeing are very positive to this point. But again, it's training, it's listening to calls, it's monitoring. So when you're getting started, the cool thing is the tools that you're using to implement this, whether it's Go High Level or Journey Builder or whatever anybody's, you know, instance of it is, or another voice AI agent, the key is that all of them are being built out to work in it within their sandbox, within their playground. So when you're just getting started, I would say, you know, trust the platform, use the help, knowledge base, documents, resources that you can. I also say, if you've used Claude or ChatGPT or Manus, right, which I know you and I are both big fans of.
Yeah, I am.
Go to that platform and say, I am building an AI voice assistant for my business. Talk a little bit about your business. I'm actually working on a AI assistant builder tool as a lead magnet right now. It's not complete. But you just go to it. Just talk to it. That's what I did with Claude. I said, here's what I'm doing. Here's my clients. Here's what we're trying to build. Here's my current instructions, you know, but you can even say, just generate me a set of instructions and a knowledge base that I can use to get started. And then you look through it. And then the cool thing is, once you make that kind of a project, you can then continuously chat with it to improve.
I love
on
that.
The process.
Yeah, you're actually improving it by chatting with it.
Yeah, yeah. So what we've had to do, so I mentioned we do ours with Claude. So what I did is I created a Claude project. I hope this doesn't go over anybody's head. If you're geeking out, like me, Jonathan, right now. We created a Claude project, and what we did is we put in our initial instructions, and then the prompt that we're using and the knowledge base, we've added those as artifacts to the project. And then when we need to make an update, we tell it what we want it to do. It generates the updated instructions and the updated knowledge base. So we download that to do what we need to do in our system. But what we do is we delete the artifacts that were the previous versions and replace them with the current version, so that each time we need to update, we can open up a new chat. Because if we were doing it in one long chat, eventually Claude's going to say, this conversation's too long, open a new chat. So
I would say eventually. I think Claude does that about the second breath you take.
Often.
Don't get me wrong.
Yes.
I love Claude, but yeah. I uploaded a 9 megabyte PDF to it, which is a big PDF.
It's a big PDF.
I uploaded it to Gemini, Manus, and Claude. Claude wouldn't even answer my first inquiry because it said your chat is too long.
Yeah.
Gemini talked to me for an hour or two about it. Manus is still talking to me about it.
Yeah.
As is Gemini. I haven't ended it. And I don't get that with Claude. It's the only model. And I love it. It's great.
Yeah.
But I swear, I mean, you breathe three times and it's like, I'm sorry, this chat is too long. You need to start again. I'm like, I don't get it. Sorry. Total segue, rabbit trail. But
you can breathe two extra times if you're using the Sonnet version. But if you're using the new Opus, the programming code version.
And I was using Sonnet just because I knew it was going to.
Yeah, the Opus one
wouldn't
was quick.
Even answer the first question. It started answering and then it just stopped and said,
stopped.
This chat is too long. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
It drives me crazy. Yeah. No, we share that sentiment. I love Claude too. I think it. No, don't be. I think that Claude is an amazing chat assistant tool. It's very, very good. It's very well thought out. It's very well researched. I think that it gives the best answers that I've seen. Unless I'm looking for current events or news where Perplexity might be better or something like that. But I just like the Claude models. But you're right. And if you're gonna do some major project, it's gonna limit you, and then you're constantly, so it works perfect for our case because we're starting a new chat with each update. So then we have a lot of room to go before it chokes us out.
No, it makes perfect sense. Very cool. So, you know, and again, part of my misunderstanding is we were getting in, but do you recommend that most businesses start with the chat agent first and then move up to the voice agent over time as opposed to just diving into voice, or where, and I know voice is not nearly as progressed as is chat right now, but I'm just curious what your thoughts are being in that industry and working with that, Jay.
Sure. No, that's a fantastic question because I might have different answers depending on when we started. I think it's a case by case, first of all. That's the short answer. Now I'll go ahead and go dive into a tangent. You have to really evaluate the use case first. When we started with the mattress clients, they've always run Facebook ads, Messenger ads, right? So people have, all of their inbound leads from their advertising have come through written chat, right? So for us, it was a natural progression to just use a written chat agent.
Makes sense
to book the appointments, but we don't see that a lot in other industries. Like I said, our manufacturing client, our roofing client, some of the other ones that we're getting ready to work with, they're more interested in the voice. I think you're fine to start with voice. I think if you're already driving leads to a phone number or a Facebook message or an Instagram DM, you may as well just start with the written chat. If you're getting a lot of phone calls coming in, you might want to start with voice. So that's the case by case. I think written chat is a little bit easier to, it's a little more transparent in real time. When somebody's on a phone call, you're not listening in, screening that phone call. When somebody's writing in and your AI is having a conversation with them, you can be looking at it inside of your CRM or inside of Facebook Messenger. You could be watching the conversation go back and forth, and you know if you need to take over. the takeover on voice is not really there unless the AI is smart enough to transfer the call to somebody else, but it's not a real takeover at that point. It's kind of just a handoff. So I think you have to, especially in the beginning, maybe play with the AI and test the AI first with your instructions and your prompt and get it working really well, because then I think those skills will translate over to the voice AI. We can take our prompt and say, all right, take this prompt, take all these instructions, take this knowledge base, and now rewrite it for a voice assistant instead of a chat assistant. And it won't have to rewrite a whole lot. And now you can make that migration into voice a lot easier, which is something that we're looking at doing first quarter of next year with our mattress clients.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Yeah. I love that. Very cool. Well, Jay, if people are interested in learning more about chat and ways they can use that, what's the best way for them to reach out and connect with you?
Yeah, so you're going to be proud of me, Jonathan. I've been working hard on a website over the last 4 or 5 months. A mutual friend of ours told me I needed to brand myself a little bit more. JTheAIGuy.com is a real thing now.
I love it. It's that mine. Is great. Yep.
And so I have JTheAIGuy.com. But really, I love email. You can tell that the Gen X inside of me is an emailer.
Yes.
I do jay@jvimobile.com. So that's my first name, jay@jvimobile.com. And email me. Say, hey, I saw you on Jonathan's podcast or, you know, heard you and really interested in, you know, can you help me with this? Or is this something, you know, whatever it is, just, I have a question about how do you do this? That's always best. Just email me.
I love it. I love it. Well, I've known Jay, as I mentioned, for boy, I want to say we met a year or more ago, I think.
It's been over a year now, but then I think we got to hang out in person over the summer. And then again, we ran into each other in Dallas.
Absolutely. But yeah, guys, if you're interested in learning more about these agents, you know, one of the things I can tell you, you guys know, I teach people how to use them, but Jay implements. And if sometimes it's better to pay somebody to help you implement than it is to do all this on your own. You know, we're good at what we do in business, and we don't necessarily need to become great at everything in AI. Embrace it, add value to your customers, help make them buy from you more, but don't hesitate to reach out and get an expert like Jay and his team to help you with that, because it'll make that process, candidly, have a better ROI than if you're spending nights and weekends getting frustrated trying to figure out how to do it on your own. Not to mention, as Jay shared, he's already experienced most of those potholes, so he can help you avoid them, which is a really big deal.
Yeah, I often say too, in kind of closing here that practice, right? I said it earlier, practice. You have to really get in and do it. You're not just going to jump in and get it. Like, I've seen people come and tell me, I don't think AI is that good. It didn't know the answer to this, or it didn't say this right, or my picture had, you know, Russian hieroglyphics and 17 fingers, right? We see a little bit there. Or four fingers. And you know, I say, yeah, that's good. Now the models are improving, but you have to kind of just play with them. You have to practice. You have to get in there and work with it. You have to find, and you have to get feedback. Like if you don't get that constant feedback, it's hard to improve. Right. So whether that's Absolutely. You trying to do something yourself and you're seeing it come back and you're like, I'm not happy, let's make it better. But when you're doing it at scale with 30, 40 different clients and they're all sending you support tickets saying, why did the AI say this? Why did it do this? You know, is the AI dumb? Like, what, you know, I mean, I've heard it all. My clients have said it all to me, like, you know, in very colorful language sometimes. But at the end of the day, I'll kind of leave you with this one instance from an AI chat that we didn't even have to go fix. So the guy was obviously a troll. The guy that wrote in was trying to troll the AI. Now I think it realized maybe it was an AI or just a VA somewhere overseas, and the AI, the human troll, was really trying to just be nasty. He was saying some really crazy things, really just trying
to throw it off. Yeah.
Trying to throw it off, trying to get him really mad. And at one point, the person, I don't even know if he knew it was AI, he said, man, I'm really impressed. He's like, I would have told me to F off by now. And the AI responded, and the AI chat wrote, Ha ha. Well, we're not here to do that. But if you are ever looking for a mattress, you know where to find us. And I was
like,
love
it.
It's phenomenal. I was like, that is perfect. So, but again, you have to be in it. You have to do it. Like you said, you are a phenomenal teacher of this stuff. Your following is amazing for teaching people everything you do.
Thank you.
And I like learning from you. I mean, I love learning from you. I think that when you get in there and you actually implement, you need feedback. You need to see those conversations. Pay attention to the conversations that are coming in. Pay attention, you know, audit them. I have Ryan on my team. He's looking through conversation logs just at random. He's going into different accounts and he's just looking. Is it booking appointments? Is it saying the right things? Is it answering right? You know, and so that helps us to improve our models. And is it long? Is it tedious? Do you need help doing it? 100%. If you don't have that, then find somebody that can help you. If you do have that, then yeah, then I can help show you where to, I point you in the right directions.
I love it. Well, Jay, thank you for joining us today. I'm so happy to chat with you. Can't wait till we can hang out in a pool in Cancun again. With drinks. That was, I think, the best way to network ever. But yeah, thank you for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate you, Jonathan.
We appreciate everybody for listening in with us today. Again, thank you so much. Please don't hesitate to subscribe. And of course, give us your feedback. Let us know what we're doing well. Let us know how we can improve. We're here to serve you. With that, make it a great day, everybody. See you on the other side. Bye-bye.